the Gospel of John, and it's quite a long one. It's 1 to 44, so it's 44 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. And it's on the Pew Bibles, it's page 897. Okay, so it's page 897, chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciple, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is God's sovereign word, and may he bless it, and may he give us a real understanding of it. Let's just bow our head in prayer. There's an interesting story that was in a local paper about a 47-year-old American, and he was suffering from a brain tumour, and he wanted to put his head into cold storage for 500 years until a cure came along. Tom Donaldson, a computer engineer with a PhD in physics, told newspaper reporters he also plans to freeze his cat and wife in suspended animation. Cryonics is the science of freezing people, or just their heads, in liquid nitrogen after their death in the hope that one day they can be thawed out and cured of what killed them. Interesting, isn't it? Now, it's legal in America. There are already scores of complete bodies and heads in US laboratories. However, Donaldson wants to be alive when they cut off his head, so that his brain can be frozen before it begins to deteriorate. He says, I am a brain, and if that goes, there's really not much left. Hope of reanimating me in the future, says Donaldson. Cryonic scientists say there is no guarantee. I wonder if that's a thing that you fancy. But it's true. There's places in America that they do that. He can be revived from suspension. But Donaldson also argues, I've got more hope than if they put me in the ground and I turn to dust, don't I? But you see, Tom Donaldson is a typical of the extremes that people will go to try and live forever. As human beings, we find it hard to accept death, don't we? We struggle with it. Even as Christians, we sometimes struggle with the thought of death. I'll just put that at the back of my mind and I'll not think about that. But what does the Bible teach us? What does it tell us about death? And you know something, when we look into these scriptures, there are three kinds of death. You have physical death, spiritual death, and then you have the second death. And what I want to do tonight is quickly run through these and have a look at them and share what I think it says. The first word being physical death. And what is physical death? It is a separation of the body from the spirit. And believe it or no, it's the least important one. You see, we struggle with death. We think about it and go, oh, crikey. Oh, death. But it's going to happen. And there's one thing you can be sure of. We're all going to die. Physically, this body isn't going to last. I know by playing five sides and different jumping about, it's beginning to tell. The wear and tear,
You look in the mirror and you see grey hairs and hair falling out where they were before. You try and grow a beard and it turns in grey. I know some of the guys that know that I'm talking about are laughing along with me. But it's true. As older we get, things start happening. We won't last forever. It's just a matter of time. And throughout the ages, we have tried to find the secret of eternal life. Genghis Khan, to the mummified pharaohs of Egypt, to the Incas of South America, even the Victorians were fascinated with eternal life. But you see, folks, nothing really evolved or anything like that. Nothing really happened. Because they were looking in all the wrong places. There is a truth about and a secret about eternal life. And it can only be revealed to you by God. But it's not a secret if you're truly seeking. If you're truly seeking, then God will reveal it to us. And it's there for everyone who wants it. And we read this in the Gospel of John about Lazarus. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Powerful, powerful words. Do we grasp that? Jesus knew that Lazarus would die, but death would not have the last word. Jesus tells his disciples that in verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. Jesus was physically showing them the authority he had over death. Not just his disciple, but Mary and Martha and everybody else that was there. He was showing them the authority they had. We read in verse 35 that Jesus wept. But behind these tears lies a lot more than natural sorrow. His friend, he is deeply moved. Because you love Lazarus. But what he was weeping about was a bit anger and the tyranny of death. The last enemy. And Jesus proved, although physically we may die, there is no death through Jesus. Just as he called Lazarus out of the tomb to be with him, he will do the same with us if we belong to him. That is powerful stuff. That's brilliant news. Fantastic news. We live in a world where mankind keep telling us that things are going to get better. Or we're going to get better. Or if we do this new thing, the many of the new age thing that came up, the sign of Aquarius, that things will get better. That song, "Things Can Only Get Better." Didn't he ask me to sing it? But doesn't he? The world's in turmoil. You just need to turn your television on and look at what's happening around the world. How people are. Jesus says, "I am the life and the resurrection. Look to me." It's important. Really important. The second thing I quickly want to look at here is the spiritual death. What is spiritual death? It is separation from God, who is the source of all life. When we don't know Jesus Christ as a personal saviour, then we are spiritually dead. You know, I've said this before, but how many times do we come across people and they say, "Well, do you know, you don't really need Jesus and all that Christian stuff to be spiritual or to understand spiritual things. I know this guy and he's a Buddhist and he's really spiritual." No, I'm not condemning Buddhism or any other religion. I'm just giving facts. He's really spiritual person. Another guy who's a Muslim, who's a really spiritual person, and a lovely people. I mean, really lovely people. That's fine. And they might be. They might look at peace, or they've got a peace about them. And they might have a genuineness about them. They go to worship, maybe even more than Christians, maybe 3 times a day, 4 times a day. They might even be good friends of ours. And they might even look to have control over their lives, to be in control. These are lovely. Honestly, I wish I could be like that. I've heard people saying it. But listen, folks. See, we look deep into this story here, of Lazarus. There are many Jews and religious Jews and leaders who came to comfort Mary and Martha, who looked to have control over their lives. They were well gotten. They knew the scriptures. They looked to be at peace with herself. And who even criticized Jesus for being late. Verse 37. Who does he think he is? Took his time to come and thought he was your pal. Can't be that much of a pal. It took ages to come here, and he's a really good pal, huh, mate? We're criticizing. But spiritually, they refuse to accept Jesus, who is the water of life. They were holy, they were religious, smart, knew the scriptures, but they refused the capstone, the most important thing of all, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you will never ever know real spiritual freedom unless it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you truly, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. No matter how spiritual you think you are, how good you think you are, how great you think you are, then if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are spiritually dead. The third one here is to look at as the second death. The second death in Revelation tells us in verse 20, chapter 11, there is a general resurrection when everyone, every single person, will stand before God to judge each on their own record. The verdict is life or death. For those who love, there will be no more death, we're told. There will be books that will be opened, records kept, where the great and small will stand. The great and small, all your great actors, all these great people, these great kings, all the important people. But there'll also be beggars there. Everybody. But the great and small will stand together before a great throne. And these books will be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. The dead will be judged. The sea will give up its dead. Death and Hades give up their dead. And this is important, folks. And the Bible tells us that if any name is not found written in this book of life, they are thrown in the lake of fire, along with death and Hades. You see, that's quite harsh. That's pretty harsh, that. Well, I find that really, really quite horrible. Well, listen, folks. If there's anybody that hasn't sinned, God is a perfect God. He is without sin. Jesus was without sin, without blemish. If there's anybody here that has never lied, never murdered in their heart, never gossiped, never cheated, I'd like to meet them after the meeting. We've all sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one that hasn't sinned. So we deserve what's coming to us. We deserve it. Because we're sinners. And we don't have to look far. This is the final death. This is the real death that we should fear. No physical death, because we're going to die. Spiritual death, we can go right through our life being spiritually dead. But we're going to be held account. See, it's not politically correct now to talk about hell or to talk about judgment. It offends people. People don't like it. Quite an offensive fact, guy. Well, they're quite offensive to him. But listen, I'm going to put another way to you, and I want you to answer me or think about it. If somebody was drowning, and all I needed to do was to throw them a dinghy or whatever so that they could grab it, and I could grab the rope and I could pull them to safety, would that be sensible? Or would it be sensible just to leave them to drown? Well, folks, we know drowning men and women. We're drowning. If we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're drowning. And the lifeline that we're casting out is the lifeline to eternal life. That's why we're here to share the gospel. That's why we're here to share the good news. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want folk to know the truth. There is not one person fairer than God who is a fair judge. You look at a fairer judge. And Jesus, who is just and true. Just like Lazarus, he wants to call us out of our death clothes. Spiritually, like Lazarus, to be reborn, renewed. To trust that there is no real death with Jesus, only stepping over a threshold. Then, if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should be concerned. Eternity is a long, long time. Well, if you are a Christian, then get excited. Continue on that road. Keep on that narrow road. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just finish with what Jesus says in verse 40. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" When we put our trust in Jesus, when we understand the gospel, when we really understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on Calvary, you know, dying on the cross was one of the most horrific deaths that you could ever get. It was a horrible, horrible death. Nailed to a cross and hung. You drown in your own blood. It was horrific. But he did that and suffered so that we can come to him now freely and have eternal life. Eternity is a long, 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 long time. We can have loads of things. We can have houses, lands, loads of earthly things. We can own vineyards, whatever. But if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal saviour, then we have absolutely nothing. Let's remember that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just give you thanks that, Lord, that, yes, Father, we should fear you, but not in a fear where we think that, Lord, that a fear of a country invading us or whatever, Father, but a healthy fear, Father, that, Lord, that you sent your Son down. You came down as a human being. Father, you tasted all the things that we've tasted. You tasted grief, loss, isolation, all these things that we suffer, Lord. Loneliness. Father, you know what it's like to be lonely. You have deserted and left you, Father. All these things, Father, you understand. You understand us better than we understand ourselves, Father. So, Lord, help us to understand you more. Father, we pray tonight that you would just uplift our hearts and our minds. And, Father, if we know you, then we just pray that you would just help us to know you in a deeper way. And, Father, if we don't know you, we just pray, Father, that you would just reveal yourself to us in a real powerful way. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. And for his sake. Amen.